Now, Twitter continues to get pushback after its move Wednesday to do a form of fact-checking of President Trump's tweets. The two tweets from the president contained false information about mail-in voting, and in addition to criticism from conservatives, some from the world of journalism are criticizing Twitter for a lack of transparency about its process and standards for fact-checking. Lucas Graves is an associate professor of journalism at UW-Madison and author of the book Deciding What's True, The Rise of Political Fact-Checking in American Journalism. Lucas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. It's good to be with you again.
Well, we've talked to you in the past about newspaper outlets and groups doing these fact-checking things. What do you think of this venture from the prominent social media site Twitter to do this bit of fact-checking?
Well, first of all, I was really surprised by it. I mean, critics have been calling on Twitter to take action against false and misleading and sometimes dangerous tweets from the president for many months, and I think no one expected them to finally do it. On balance, it's really good to see them take this step. I think that, you know, politicians with millions of followers should be the first in line for fact-checking instead of being exempt from it. But as lots of people noted, you know, Twitter could have been a bit better prepared if they were going to start fact-checking the president.
Right. There are lots of things said on Twitter. Many of them are false by various people. Do we have any sense that Twitter has a procedure here, a way that they're going to be going out and prioritizing who to fact check, how they're going to do it, that kind of thing?
It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, they made a sort of string of updates to their policies over the last 6 weeks, the last couple of months. This was clearly fueled by concerns over misinformation related to COVID-19 and to the, you know, the coronavirus pandemic. The pandemic has made clearer than ever how dangerous misinformation can be. And of course, you know, the president has made a lot of well-known false pronouncements about potential cures. He's done that on Twitter. He's also done it at his press conferences. But I think that that's really increased the pressure on platforms like Twitter to police misinformation and to take this bold step of, you know, of fact-checking the president. But it does seem like they're sort of making policy on the fly. You know, there's a saying that you shouldn't build the car while you're driving it. And it definitely feels like they're already shooting down the highway here. You know, I think if you're going to start fact-checking the president, especially one who's as combative as President Trump, you want to have really clear policies in place around who qualifies for fact-checking, around what form the fact-checks will take. And you also want to, you know, publish your methodology and have some in-house expertise about using sources to carry out these fact-checks, or else maybe partner with outside fact-checkers the way that Facebook has done. So as lots of people have pointed out, you know, Twitter's been a little bit inconsistent in how it fact checks different public figures. And it's kind of hard to figure out, what their policy is.
Speaking of Facebook, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has criticized Twitter for this decision. Here's some of what he had to say Wednesday on CNBC.
But I don't think that Facebook or internet platforms in general should be arbiters of truth. I think that's a kind of a dangerous line to get down to in terms of deciding what is true and what isn't. And I think political speech is one of the most sensitive parts in a democracy. And people should be able to see what politicians say. And there's a ton of scrutiny already. Political speech is the most scrutinized speech already by a lot of the media.
In this case, people could still see what the politician had to say. What do you think about the approaches Facebook versus Twitter?
You know, I have to say first about those remarks from Mr. Zuckerberg. I mean, those are really disingenuous remarks, in my opinion. All of the First Amendment concerns that have been raised around Twitter's move are really a red herring. You know, Twitter's a private company. And the First Amendment protects against censorship by the government. And more importantly, they haven't censored Trump. They simply added context to his tweets You know, they're adding more information. That's exactly the kind of discourse that the Bill of Rights, you know, was designed to protect. But beyond that, all of the platform companies regulate our speech all of the time. They just have been reluctant to do that when it comes to powerful figures who, you know, who can endanger them, who can call them before Congress and such. And so Facebook, you know, has been fact-checking sort of false information that circulates. They police hate speech. You know, they have really strict and extensive policies around what can be said on their platform. So these are complicated questions, but it's not as if anyone is you know, not regulating what people say on their platforms.
Talking to Lucas Graves from UW-Madison, author of the book Deciding What's True, The Rise of Political Fact-Checking in American Journalism, looking at Twitter, President Trump, and fact-checking. I want to read a little bit or a couple pieces of the tweets in question here. The president wrote, there is no way, zero, that mail-in ballots will be anything less than substantially fraudulent. Mailboxes will be robbed, ballots will be forged, even illegally printed out and fraudulently signed. The governor of California is sending ballots to millions of people. Anyone living in the state, no matter who they are or how they got there, will get one. Well, I want to look at the difficulty of fact-checking. The last half of what I read there is not true. They're sending it to registered voters only, so that's pretty easy. But a claim that something will happen in the future, how do fact-checkers, I know you've been in the trenches with them, how do they deal with a speculative statement like that?
I mean, that is really difficult. There's some people who say you can't possibly check any claim about the future. You know, I don't quite agree with that. The best way that you approach a claim by that and the way a claim like that and the way that fact checkers have approached it is by looking at the record. So what we do know is that, you know, the record of fraud around mail-in voting and frankly, the record of voter fraud in general suggests that it's not the sort of serious concern that, you know, that some critics want to claim that it is. As we know, there are states that rely entirely on mail-in voting, like Oregon. And in other places, we've heard President Trump and other Republican Party figures explain exactly what their real concern about widening the franchise in this way is, and that's that it'll hurt them at the ballot box. You know, President Trump himself said that if we adopted mail-in voting, vote in widely, no Republican would ever win again. I don't think that's actually true, but clearly that suggests that their, you know, their concern is a political one. But so that's how, you know, that's how fact checkers approach it. They look at the best evidence that they can find. They acknowledge where there are holes in the record, where there are uncertainties. They talk to experts, you know, academic experts or people from think tanks. They disclose the political leanings of these experts if they have any. And they always make a point of showing their work so that even if you disagree with the final verdict that they reach, at least you can see how they got there. And hopefully the information they supply is still useful, right? They're adding context to these complicated questions.
In our last minute or so, as you say, Twitter is kind of inventing their process as they go, or so it seems. Do you have places where you point people toward for good, solid fact-checking with a consistent record?
I mean, I think the leading U.S. fact-checkers, simply because they've been at this for so long and they've weathered so much criticism, they do a pretty good job of it. So, you know, PolitiFact, for instance, publishes its methodology. They publish all of the sources that they use with each piece, with each fact check in a separate sidebar. They carry corrections when somebody points out a mistake they've made. They have clear policies around that. And they and other fact checkers subscribe to an international code of principles, which is maintained by the Poynter Institute, which is a journalism education hub. So I think that would be a great resource for Twitter and for other platform companies as they try to implement fact-checking in-house.
Lucas, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
My pleasure.
That's Lucas Graves. He's an assistant professor of journalism at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's the author of the book Deciding What's True, The Rise of Political Fact-Checking in American Journalism. He was with us today to talk about Twitter's decision to add fact-checking links to a couple of the president's tweets, along with a few others in recent days. You can let us know what you think. There's a long conversation, I think, still up there at the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can join us at the scene of the incident over at Twitter. Tweet us at Central Time WPR and let us know what you think about all of this.